Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, LA Talk Radio. It's Tuesday night. It's 8 o'clock, and this is Mainstream Metaphysics. And you're not only listening to Nick Newmont, you're listening to Audrey Newmont.
Hello.
Right by my side. And Happy New Year. It is 2020. That's crazy that we're into a new decade and new beginnings and a little bit of same old stuff too. But I think everyone, and I think Audrey, you agree that people are ready for a fresh start.
Oh yeah.
You know, I think they were glad to put the past behind them and move into a new time. And you know, when you look at, you know, 2020, you know, the zeros do look like, you know, eyeglasses. And so we hopefully have that 2020 vision going forward. So we see things clearly and see things as the way they are. So clarity has got to be, you know, part of the process. And if you are tuning in for the first time, we are the Newmonts of the Newmont Center in Agora Hills. You know, Audrey is a hypnotherapist and licensed spiritual practitioner. I am a hypnotherapist, alternative energy healer. I do a technique called sentient healing. And of course, I am a psychic and a psychic astrologer. And I'm going to talk about, you know, astrology tonight. And also, I want to mention, for those of you that are listening, in a little bit, we are going to bring in our guest, Michael Horn. And Michael Horn is fascinating. I met Michael through Audrey, you know, a few years back. And Audrey's known Michael for how many years?
I think we've known each other. We thought about it. It's like 28 years.
Yeah, so Audrey can reflect on him a bit more too, and who he is and what he does. And we in the year ahead, we are going to have some fascinating guests on, and people have asked me to demonstrate more of my abilities also and how I channel and so on and so forth. Now, I do want to talk about the, as I've talked about so many times in the past year, the Pluto-Saturn alignment, this conjunction that's officially taking place on the 12th, has certainly created some intensity in the world, but it also is creating intensity in people. And if you watch people right now and how they're acting, because Pluto creates pressure and volatility, you know, people are really just wound too tightly right now. And everybody just needs to calm down. And once Saturn passes Pluto and we go deeper into the month and deeper into February, there's other planetary shifts that are going to take place, and that's going to lighten things up. So, you know, of course, people want to know about what the situation, you know, in the Middle East with our country and what's happened over the last few days and with Iran. And I, you know, I've said earlier that I likened it to a brush fire, especially for those of us in California that know what that's like. And we always talk about containment, you know, what percent it's contained. And I feel that it will get contained without getting completely out of control. Now, I've also looked at so many different astrology charts, you know, and mine and Audrey's and countries and President Trump. But not only do we look at the Pluto-Saturn alignment that's in his fifth house, which is volatility with people and relationships and how he gets along with people, or the fifth house is the love you give or not. But also in his chart, Saturn is moving into an opposition of his 11th house Saturn. people that are born with Saturn in the 11th house, which is your social groups, organizations, clubs, they don't really like people on that level. It's fascinating that he's born with that. But as Saturn opposes Saturn, this is something that happens in a person's chart beginning at age 14 and then again around age 43 and then age 72, 73 in there. So this is vital because a Saturn opposition means that the universe takes you by the scruff of the neck, puts your face in the mirror, and makes you look at reality, like it or not. So there's some kind of like it or not reality that's coming up for President Trump in the days and weeks ahead. And it can bring about, if you handle it right, productivity and getting busy. But if the person doesn't like what they see, and this isn't about all about the rest of the world, this is him with the universe. If he doesn't like what he sees, and I've told many clients, they flip out because they can't handle the reality that's being presented. So it will be fascinating to see how he reacts and what actually shows up in the news with the Saturn opposition in his chart. Audrey, you want to make any comments about that?
That's your world. But yeah. I have to say, we're in a really interesting time at the moment.
Oh, we are. We are. As we're in a four-year, 2020, at least that ensures a certain amount of stability, a certain amount of tearing down and rebuilding, and it makes things solid. And even though the volatility of the Saturn-Pluto alignment, which is forming now, is there, it is going to give way to other alignments that smooth things out and make them better. So even though this is extremely intense, you know, I never get into, and I never have been into predicting gloom and doom, even when things seem a bit dire. You know, I always find the silver lining. As remember, most of the time, I'm doing readings for people on a personal level. I'm not looking at things globally, and you're not going to find me making predictions in the National Enquirer or anything like that, because I tend to work more on a one-to-one level as opposed to, you know, looking at this. But this does require looking at, because something could come out of these charts and cause people to go, oh, uh-oh. You know, when I looked at the chart of Iraq compared to the chart of the United States versus the chart of Iran, the country that's got bigger decisions to make is Iraq, because the Saturn-Pluto alignment is in the seventh house, which is their partnerships, contracts and deals and things like that. So they're going to have to figure out where they stand in all of this, as opposed to being caught in the middle. So there's a lot to unfold, and as we watch this, reality will tell us what reality is, and that we go from there. But I still think that it is not going to get out of control, that this will calm down as we go forward. I think we may see, even though there's been activity over the last few days, unpleasant activity, I think we may see cooler heads prevailing. And one off topic before Michael calls in, you know, given that over the last year we've really seen the intensity of the brush fires. In fact, in November of 18, we had to evacuate for a few days. My heart really goes out to everyone in Australia.
Yeah,
that is just brutal, and it's good to see that our country is sending firefighters, and hopefully they get an environmental and a climatic change, climate, not climactic, change that helps support, you know, getting those fires extinguished, because wildlife is being displaced, and to see, you know, people rescuing koala and holding them, and it's heartbreaking to see that.
And it's also really important to put out your prayers, you know, really know Absolutely. That rain is happening.
Yep. So, you know what, send them love and water. They need it. because we know firsthand what this looks like. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I want to any moment now, Michael's going to call in. If you haven't listened to Coast to Coast Live with George Norrie, then you haven't heard Michael Horn being interviewed. And Michael Horn he's actually calling in right now. Michael.
That's me.
Okay,
it's
hold
you.
On 1 second.
How
I'm
are
introducing you?
You.
I'm well.
Sure.
All right. So, folks, Michael Horn is the world's leading authority on UFOs, as quoted by George Norrie after Michael's 20th appearance on Coast to Coast Live. Michael is the American media representative for the singularly authentic Billy Meyer UFO contacts, still ongoing in Switzerland and now spanning 78 years. So it's my honor and privilege, and Audrey too, to welcome our friend Michael Horn to the show.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
We're excellent.
Great. Thank you for coming on. It is a thrill to get you on. This is a big deal, and I think our listeners are going to find out what a big deal it is to have you. So I was just talking about astrologically about the Pluto-Saturn conjunction and what that means on personal levels, on global levels. I'm looking at things that, Michael, I ran the chart of Iran, Iraq, the United States, and Donald Trump's chart. Anyway, we will get to that, but tell us about you. Tell us about you, as opposed to what I just said, introducing you.
Well, as I often say, I was born at a very young age, and things went downhill from there. No, what to tell you? My main work for the past 40 years has been to research and investigate, make documentaries about, and ultimately represent the, as you referred to it, singularly authentic Billy Meyer UFO contacts ongoing in Switzerland now for 78 years this year. And it's a very, very different body of information than anybody has produced ever before. And also, it is probably the least well-known and most actively suppressed information, because if it's true, if what Mr. Meyer claims and has produced his evidence to support, if that's true, it is the single most important development and true story in all of human history. So that's where people have the opportunity to, you know, basically decide for themselves if, you know, if this is real, if it's true, and what then it might mean to them.
Right. Michael, I want to ask you a question. And in the few years I've known you, I've never asked you this. How did you get into this?
Well, you know, the Bodhi Tree bookstore used to exist on Melrose. I mm-hmm. know it closed, and I think maybe, pardon me, it has reopened since somewhere else in L.A., but that was a bookstore that I had frequented back in the 1970s. And one September day in 1979, I walked in, and as I stepped in and was moving, you know, towards the bookshelves, there on a low-lying shelf facing the door was a fantastic-looking book, a photo book with the clearest, most startling photos of what we were calling, or what we still sometimes call, UFOs that I'd ever seen. And more than just being a photo book of these rather remarkable objects, it had information about the Swiss man who had taken these photos and the analysis of the photos and other evidence, all of which was in the process still of being gathered by the American investigative team that had gone over to Switzerland early in 1978 or late 77 to start to investigate the evidence, the man, the circumstances, etc. And that began for me a now slightly more than 40-year study, if you will, and you know, that was my introduction into this material, into this evidence. And it was later in 1986 when I was in a little cafe in Sedona with my daughter and a friend that we met another person. We were the only customers in the place at the time. This was slightly prior to it becoming the mecca of New Age, whatever that it is now.
Right.
It was not as large, not as well known, but it was gathering that type of a reputation. Anyhow, this other fellow and I got to speaking. The Billy Meyer case came up, which was still relatively new to me, and he mentioned that he had the transcripts of 3 years' worth of the conversations that were supposedly between Meyer and the extraterrestrial human beings that he was meeting with. And his meetings actually started when he was a five-year-old boy. They've been going on, you know, as we say, for like 75, 78 years now. When I got back to L.A., went up to Decker Canyon, this guy Ralph gave me 1,800 pages of these transcripts, which I immersed myself in for months because they were so fascinating. And it was 2 years later that I randomly opened a newspaper, paper that was printed in, I think, Marina Del Rey, and I saw an article that said A-bomb testing, ozone damage tied together, something like that, connected, whatever it was. And it was a supposedly new discovery from the, you know, prominent Lawrence Livermore National Laboratories in Northern California. But as I even began to read the article, I was wondering why I already knew the information in it. And then I reached under the bed, pulled out the first 100 pages of mimeograph pages, you know, mimeograph transcripts,
right.
and there was the information appearing for the first of a number of times wherein Meyer was given these specifics about the connection between the A-bomb and the ozone damage. And that is when I also realized that this was about more than just great UFO photos, that something else was going on here.
Sure. So, Michael, who are these beings that are communicating this?
Sure. I like to say this according to the information in the case,
right?
Because there are things in here I can prove. Anybody can. I mean, it's not special to me. And there's things that can't be proved. And that's because they either deal with the extremely far distant and largely unknown past or the as yet not arrived future. So what we're told in this information is that these beings are fully human. They're virtually indistinguishable from us, and that they come from a very ancient race. I mean, we consider it an ancient race from a whole other portion of the universe, that even millions of years ago were space travelers, and that some of the forefathers of these particular people who had been referred to erroneously and deliberately as Pleiadians, because there are no Pleiadians, but this was a screen name they used. They're called the Pleiaren, the Ya sound being a J-A, right. P-L-E-J-A-R-E-N. And anyway, it is said that their distant forefathers had become very accomplished and technically advanced long ago. They also had tremendous consciousness and or spiritual powers, but as is the case throughout evolution, you can gain great abilities in a certain area and misuse them as their forefathers did. And they claim that it was relatively recent in, you know, compared to all of this, that they themselves kind of refined themselves and reprioritized the consciousness and spiritual development and brought peace to themselves and their own world about 52,000 years ago. And that they have a self-obligated mission that is in accordance with what we might just simply call universal law, that a more advanced race, those who are higher up the ladder of evolution, have a certain obligation to help those reasonably accessible on a lower rung on that ladder, but who are ready to be assisted. Now, it's questionable still whether we're ready to be assisted, because their mission has gone on for over 13,500 years on Earth, and we are, as we all now know as of today, et cetera, we're on the brink of setting ourselves back quite significantly if two things happen. I mean, if we fulfill the prophecies, the negative prophecies in this information, it'll be very tragic for everybody on Earth. And we don't have to do that. It's we are at a dangerous crossroads. Mm-hmm. But what this is about assisting us to assure our own very threatened future survival. And this particular contact, Meyer is the seventh prominent contactee with these people over a history of several thousands of years. And as is the case with the six other contactees, they were also prophets, a word that, you know, sometimes carries all sorts of connotations. But these are people who are way showers, who can, by various means, have access to information about the future and come to try to assist humankind to correct its, you know, direction, its course, so that the worst of probable, possible, but not necessarily certain outcomes are avoided. And this is really what this is about. It is basically what started the real UFO controversy. It is the most suppressed information on the planet. It is what the cover-up is about. And now we are saying the UFO cover-up is over, and now we're going to, you know, show and tell you what it's been about. This, just to throw it in there, we have authenticated, by we, I mean independent experts, and that goes to aerospace, photography, special effects, metallurgy, legal and military people have independently authenticated the case. There's no doubt for anybody that can go through the evidence, not to do with any beliefs, but evidence, this is authentic, it's real. Then the question always is, well, what's the reason for it? What does it mean? And I started with that a little prematurely to asking that question. I said already, it's to help us assure our own very, you know, threatened future survival with very specific means of doing that. And they've basically given it away. I mean, this isn't something, well, if you, you know, you have to subscribe and buy all this stuff. Yeah, Meyer's written brilliant books, but we are basically making available every critical piece of information, have been doing it for years.
Michael, you and I have talked about this for many years. You know, you and I have been friends for all this time, and it's been very interesting. We've been talking about this for 28 years, and when we first started talking about it, I remember very clearly people just did not want to even listen at all. And I've noticed in the past, I want to say like maybe 1-2 years, you've now had all these experts come forward and say this is valid, it's real, it's absolute. And then one of the other parts of all this is you've been telling me these prophecies for years, and one after another, like how many are there? Like thousands, right? Hundreds?
Well, we have charted it's a little over 250 specific examples of prophetically accurate, primarily scientific, as well as environmental, geopolitical, and even economic information. And when I say environmental, nobody probably that's listening to this knows that Billy Meyer is at least the first person I could find on record, beginning in 1951, who specifically warned about unnatural, man-made climate change, global warming, as I was mentioning before, the damage to the ozone, you name it, the destruction of the planet from extracting petroleum and natural gas, how it imbalances the tectonic plates and leads to earthquakes and the earth collapsing in, and, you know, from fracking, all this stuff. Billy Meyer started to publish this when he's 14 years old in 1951. So to answer your question, we have hundreds, and a lot of the information, there's a body of information here that is specific in terms of prophecies or predictions given as such, and whose actual origin, in many cases, not all, are with the prophets Enoch and Jeremiah thousands of years ago. Mm. And, of course, more recent stuff from Meyer's first extraterrestrial teacher in 1948. I can tell you stuff that's fulfilling even as we speak on that, and Meyer's own predictions over the years. So there are those things that are given specifically as predictions, but so much of the scientific information is given casually in conversational form when Meyer would ask about a particular thing, a comet, a planet, black holes, this or that, And what we've been able to prove is that he verifiably published this kind of information up to 60 years before official discovery. And some of it is coming to the fore even now. There's a thing called Asteroid Apophis, a publication, a tabloid in the UK ran a six-part interview with me about the danger from Asteroid Apophis, which, of course, NASA has, you know, poo-pooed as being really anything to this, all this stuff. Meyer published the warnings about it 23 years before NASA discovered it. So this is what we're trying to get out into the world. And for his trouble, Meyer has survived 23 attempts in his life. Wow. That's how they don't want this happening and being out there with him. But now there's too many holes in the dike and too few fingers to plug them.
And there's just all these avenues for information to be out there, all these holes in the dike. You were saying the part about things that are going on as we speak. I wanted to address that.
Oh, sure. Well, for instance, I just said that in connection with the document, one of the documents, there have been several, that were given to Meyer by his extraterrestrial teacher when he was as young as 11 years of age, and also a couple, maybe when he was 8 or 9, in one that was published in published to Meyer in 48, there are specific warnings about tons of things, lots of which have already happened because they kind of held this back for a while. But in that document, Meyer is told a couple of very interesting things, one of which is that in the period between 2015 and 2017 or so, there would be a lot of earthquakes in central Italy, which would be the precursors forewarning of massive earthquakes to come, and the eruption, huge eruptions of 5 of the volcanoes in Italy, plus lots of other volcanoes, including submarine volcanoes that actually are in a ring around the entire world. And that's separate to the Ring of Fire, which is also going to go off. But those earthquakes took place after that document was published. And all 5 of the forewarned of volcanoes have become active in the last several years. As a matter of fact, I just saw an article about one of them, Campi Flegri, Flegrean Fields or Campi Flegri, that has become active when it's been dormant for 500 years, and it's now concerning seismologists and volcanologists or whatever they're called, because in the prediction, it's going to happen. When that goes, it's a caldera. It's huge. And parts of Italy may go into the sea. And then there is the Eiffel Fields, not the Eiffel Tower, the Eiffel Fields caldera in northern Germany. That will, at a certain point, erupt and turn northern Europe into a sea of fire. And we have our own Yellowstone, which it is a prediction that will go too. Dates are not given for these things because they are warnings, and we are told, people need to prepare, but there's several other warnings we could be preparing for. And I'm trying to get this information out, of course, through every avenue I can, because one of the threats is to the Northwest area, which now our scientists, 3 years after, verifiably after Meyer published the warning about the Cascadia subduction zone, which will produce a 9.0 earthquake that will run at 9.0 for 5 minutes and then produce a mega tsunami, then another earthquake and another tsunami. Well, that sounds like terrifying stuff. Why should we talk about it? Well, because they wanted to warn people. And interestingly enough, 3 years after we've had it on our website, OSU, Oregon State University, came out with the same warning. Huh. But what hasn't been significantly warned about yet is what's going to go occur from the Canary Islands with the Cumbre Vieja volcano. But I'll stop and let you get a word in edgewise here.
Michael, I have a question, given that this information that's coming from the Pleiaren is, futuristic, and there have been predictions that we know in these prophecies that they're verified. You have the documents that they were accurate.
Yeah.
Right. So here's the most important question. So where in the past where information has come through that is somewhat threatening, Have the Pleiaron either given us the information to avert, or have they done something to help these events not happen? Where?
Sure, I get what you're okay. driving at. Well, let me tell you this. Meyer, early on when the Pleiaron started these official contacts, meaning information to be published widely, you know, publicly available as opposed to privately for him, they gave him certain specifics that he was allowed to publish about some events. Like there was a particular thing I recall reading about a warning about an avalanche that was going to happen in Switzerland and that could take X number of lives if, you know, people didn't prepare for it. Well, he published it and people ignored it, and of course the avalanche happened. And then there were maybe a couple other things, and they determined that publishing a date and telling people specifically when something would happen was not actually productive. That it people got strangely indifferent or lazy, or they viewed it as a kind of challenge to their own egos or authority, whatever. So what they did is they simply said, look, these are warnings of things that will occur, and your scientists may find some of these too. It's like the Apophis asteroid. When that was warned of when Meyer publishes it in 1981, and I've been publishing information about that on my website for 10 years, I have reached out to scientists all over the world. There's even a team that I'm working with, some aerospace people and a mathematician and all. They are trying to reach scientists. Instead, people have a thing. There's a thing called Asteroid Day, with the one of the participants is the former Queen guitarist Brian May, who I think is also now a physicist. Well, in traditional showbiz style, they are making T-shirts and they pat themselves on the back for teaching children in school about asteroids. In the meanwhile, this thing is heading towards Earth. And there are two specific dates Meyer was given, which accord with the dates that NASA calculated that it could come close to Earth. On one of those two dates, if it's not deflected, it will slam into a location that the Pleiaron also published the information on. So we get very, very, very specific warnings, even about things that are happening these days about the military machinations of our country and others. And the warnings are given, but people are, first of all, these warnings, people could fairly say, well, I never heard about that. Well, then you can thank the government. You can thank the UFO industry primarily, which is filled with absolute fraudulent nonsense to distract people to think that everybody and their brother is being abducted by some weird kind of an alien. You can thank the paranormal communities. Unfortunately, all these people who have promoted so many non-real, non-legitimate claims and distracting information, and they have not bothered to even look when it's available at the Meyer material. I've been, and I will even say it, fortunately blackballed from UFO conventions, which helps me to keep out of them because they're basically a waste of time. But they don't want this there, because even as 10 years ago at UFO conferences, I started to say, well, the claims of so-and-so are not true. There's no evidence. People don't like that. They don't like these things that have become highly sensationalized and commercialized. So they don't necessarily want the truth. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Michael, it's kind of like what we're looking at now with this business of fake news. And there's all this information out there, and people are at the point of what in the world do we believe? So all this sensationalism about UFOs and even about predictions, Nick predicts all the time, and I have many people who come to me, it's like, oh my God, your husband told me this or that. And we've grown up in such a society where those kind of things are taboo, or they're wrong, or they're evil, or whatever that is. This is a completely different thing. I mean, you've been telling me, there's stuff about AIDS in there. There's stuff about all these different things that have happened. And that's one of the reasons why I think this information is one of the most important things. And you're right about the predictions. It's like you've told me these things over the years, and the part about the volcano and the different things that you said, it's like I'm very clear if certain things happen, I know what to do. And I think that... Right. That is a valuable asset to have.
Well, that's what we want to focus on, actually, are what do? We little people on this planet, in the face of situations that are huge, some of which are looming, you know, let's be honest about it. What do we do? How do we, now that we're here, you know, don't tell me, Michael, that, you know, we should have done this and that. Well, we didn't know. We never heard about it. Now we're hearing about it. And if this is true, well, what the heck do we do about it? Mm-hmm. Well, that's what the focal point really is. But we've had to also tell people this less than cheerful news, too. We have to say, we have to see things as they are if we're going to be effective in changing them. Otherwise, you know, we're going to be hit and miss. We're going to pretend that certain things aren't happening. Mm-hmm. Like you said, I've told you this stuff over the years and decades, and, you know, it's like all this stuff is, what's the way to put it? It's time that we, you know, grasp, you know, sober ourselves. I don't know how else to put it, and go, okay, what's required? Let's start looking at it. And that's what, when I'm starting to do more of the public presentations, as you know, mm-hmm. and while I spend the first part establishing the credibility and reality and authenticity of the case, well, then we get into what the heck did they say we can do about all this? Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's it. And that has, you know, it's a study. It's a self-study, truly. I mean, there's something in this material, it's called the spiritual teaching. It is the core of the case. If the reason for the case is to help us assure our future survival, at the root of that is the spiritual teaching. Mm-hmm. And so the difference here, let's say, between any religions or anything, this is non-religious. It has no beliefs, superstitions, rituals, nothing. It's a study, just like, how do I fix a computer or how do I grow tomatoes? Here's the book. Start reading the book. Okay, now start testing information. Okay, that's how it works. We are responsible for ourselves. That's the number one premise, and the whole darn thing is, you know, we human beings of Earth are completely responsible for everything in our own lives. Nobody's going to come to save us. That just isn't how it works. And if we grasp that, we will empower ourselves through that reality. We will make ourselves fully equal. This is a long process, but we will be equal to any of those from whom we think we should seek mm-hmm. help, salvation. We have been kept from the secret sciences, and they have been kept from us for millennia. Once the religions came in, those were all removed from our access. We were conditioned, we being humankind, by the powerful entities of church and all the rest of it. Politics, oh my gosh, the evil twin siblings, pardon me, I'm only speaking for me, not for you guys, but the evil twin siblings of human enslavement, politics and religion, they both create the problems that they, you know, pretend to be able to solve, and they lead to a lot of disaster. Now, you mentioned, you know, fake news. 1948, Meyer was given, in the coming times, trustworthy human beings will be cursed until far into the future as being untrustworthy ones, while on the other hand, untrustworthy ones will be highly praised as being trustworthy. And this will come to an even greater degree from the middle of the coming 1970s. Speakers, journalists, missionaries, recruiters, and public media and lecturers will appear and publicly spread mendacious stories and slander about true truths to kill them off and lead the peoples into the unreal and away from truth, through thought up mendacious facts. In other words, fake news, mm-hmm. journalism, all around. So all this stuff was specifically long ago forewarned of. Okay, what do we do? Well, we come together. For instance, in this material, there's something called the Salome Peace Meditation. Very, very, very ancient meditation taught and practiced by the extraterrestrials on our behalf along with us. In other words, there are about 3.2, we're told this, I can't prove it, 3.2 billion extraterrestrial humans in their federation who six times a month practice this 20-minute vocally expressed meditation on behalf of us and the several thousands of people on Earth who know about and practice it as well. You don't have to join anything. There's no cult. There's no money. You don't have to send. It's all the core, most important parts are given freely for anybody who wants to delve into more. Yes, of course.
How long is that meditation?
20 minutes, you said, right?
20 minutes. That's right.
And it's
right.
Something that's written that people, it's a, what,
yeah,
explain
it,
that a little
spoken,
bit more.
Yeah, it's a spoken meditation. I'll actually pronounce the words for you. Salome Gamnan Ben Urda Ganiba Asala Hesperona. Peace be unto all beings on earth. It's something like that. So it's simple, but it is said that it is a coded meditation that helps to release the grip of the negative enshroudment that this planet has been under for over 10,000 years.
Michael, let me jump in here, because this is a great segue. And by the way, we only have about 4 minutes left with you.
Time flies.
I know. But here's what I want to say that's really exciting. And Michael was talking about this meditation. Michael is going to be live at the Newmont Center Friday, January 25th from 7 to 10 p.m.
Yeah.
Michael will be there. And Michael, I think we, if you can, share that meditation that night.
And the other thing I'm thinking is maybe
that's
we can post
phenomenal.
It for anyone that wants to look at it at this point.
Sure.
And I'm sure. Oh, yeah. I'll send you guys links to where that is on the website.
Okay.
And when you send me whatever you have for our event, I, of course, am going to promote it. I'll be in L.A. Doing some stuff and coming to do that event, of course. So this is the kind of thing where we're all in it together, and let's share what we have. And then it's up to everybody what they do with it. And that can be collectively or individually. So, you know, let's rub our hands together and make a difference. We can. And we should, and we shall.
Michael, in the couple minutes we have left, we do want to touch, before you came on, I talked about my astrological viewpoints of what's going on in the Middle East. What do you have to share about these events right now?
Well, you know, these events, if you will, I think that these fall into the long foretold category as well. And we have very specific warnings about for instance, from the Henoch prophecies, the USA will set out against the Eastern countries ahead of all other financial states, and simultaneously it will have to defend itself against the Eastern intruders in all. America will play the most decisive role when, in the guise to strive for peace and to fight terrorism, it invades many countries of the earth, bombs and destroys everything, and brings thousandfold deaths to the populations. This is just a piece that's in the Henoch prophecies, published in German in 87. It also contains the warnings about the destruction of the World Trade Center. Thank you very much. And actually, it didn't originate with Meyer. It originated with the prophet Enoch or Henoch over 10,000 years ago, and has been in the keeping of the Pleiaron. This information, and there's more in that document about the specific things we're seeing now, the danger of the clash between Russia, China, and the U.S., all of this long, long, long foretold and warned about, and they even say with its global conflicts continuously instigated by it, and which will continue far into the future, America is creating enormous hatred against itself worldwide in many countries, and as a result will experience enormous catastrophes which will reach proportions barely imaginable to people of Earth. The destruction of the WTC, World Trade Center, by terrorists will only be the beginning. We need to work against those outcomes in a positive and realistic way. But they were published, let's just start with 1987 and not worry about the rest until I can present and explain this much better at the, you know, at our presentation and what we need to do. And there's information here on the fires and everything. I mean, This is what's been kept from people. This is what our, pardon me, demonic secret services and governments who are busy trying to kill the man have kept from the world.
Well, when you come to our place on the 24th, not only will you be sharing this information, but I think you'll be sharing some more solutions on what we can do in the process of all this interesting time.
Right, because we don't want people to go into being fear-based.
No.
No,
because there is consciousness. There is reality, and there's consciousness, and there is free will and choice. We have to change our energy.
Yes, and that's precisely what's, if you will, asked of us or recommended that we do. Not that we are passive victims and anything else. That we be proactive in practical, informed, and effective ways, and make the change towards the better. Mm-hmm. That's all this has ever been about, and we can do our part.
Yes.
Yep, we can, because you know there are times where you can just tell in history where circumstances, let's say people dodge bullets, where something could have gone very badly and it didn't.
Yeah.
And this is where
it's true.
And where consciousness is going to come into play.
Well, but this is where we, as individual human beings, inspirited human beings, we now get the chance to bring this to the fore, to do the things that are necessary. And to do it without fear. This isn't to spread fear. It's just to be, okay, here's the information. Let's rub our hands, roll up our sleeves. Now that we know, let's go. Let's do it.
And it's just like if I make predictions on a personal level for someone and I see something going awry with their money and I tell them that, they have the opportunity to make adjustments. They may not be able to make more money at that time, but they can adjust their spending habits. So things can balance out, and we all have a choice in everything we do. It's just nice to get information about the future so that we can deal with it and we can prepare. It's just like if you find out watching the weather that in 6 days, you know, it's going to rain like hell. Well, you don't plan on a picnic and a parade that day.
Right? You know, that's exactly right. And I tell people, we have prophets on Earth. They're meteorologists, stock analysts, sportscasters, all this stuff. It's just some, you know, the accuracy of the weathermen on Earth is not quite as, you know, at the percentage level of beings and people who have technologies foreseeing and calculating these things. But when we get the warning that it's going to rain, we get an umbrella. You know,
right.
Like you
that's
said.
Exactly that. That's exactly right. And so it doesn't matter, again, if it's coming from the Pleiaren or from me or any psychic or any prognosticator. It's a matter of what people do with the information.
Well, I think we're in a moment. I see too many people that are disappearing into games and disappearing into drugs, alcohol. They literally feel like they can't manage, and so they'll literally not watch the news, and they just kind of like ostriches putting their head in the sand. I think this is an important moment to really not only just look at what's going on, but look at it from a solution-oriented space and be aware, be awake, and you know, come together as communities. That's the other thing that people are doing is isolating. So I think this is a really important time to come together as a community and focus on what we can do and make a big enough statement to, you know, kind of rattle what the possibilities are, and in that rattling get what it is that we can create from a more conscious choice.
Exactly. Listen, Michael, unfortunately, we have less than a minute, and we're going to let you
go. Give us your information.
Yes. How do people get in contact with you by email, Michael?
Sure, they can write to michael@theyfly.com, theyfly.com, michael@theyfly.com. I respond to all email. And, of course, you guys are going to have information about our event, which I will also, you know, publish. And, you know, let's go. We're going to do our thing.
So your website is amazing as well. Theyfly.com is just fantastic.
Wonderful.
Yeah, thank you. And They Fly Blog has got all the latest stuff, too. So visit, write, ask questions, make challenges, whatever, and show up to our event in just a couple of weeks and change.
Exactly.
And let's start sharing the truth and the news and getting on with it.
Wonderful. Michael, thanks for coming on
Love
the show.
Love you, Michael.
We'll talk to you.
My pleasure.
We'll see you on the 24th. I'm going to let you go now and talk soon.
All right.
Okay.
Bye. Thank you, folks.
Sure. Bye.
Bye.
That was the incredible Michael Horn. We are out of time, Audrey. We've got to go. Nick and Audrey Newmont, this is Mainstream Metaphysics. If you'd like to get in touch with Audrey, she's at 818-665-6165. I'm at 818-865-8770. Newmont at gmail.com, anewmont at gmail.com. Thanks so much for listening to Mainstream Metaphysics. And we'll see you next week with an incredible show. Take care. Be well.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.